This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Joy 94.9.
Current community affairs, the news and views you need to know. You are on the line with Dean Beck.
Good afternoon. It's Thursday, the 29th of October. Thank you very much for joining me on the line today. It is my great pleasure to welcome to the studios of Joy 94.9 our newest senator in federal parliament, Robert Sims. Welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Now, you're just 31 years of age. You're a Green senator.
Yes.
You've been thrust into our federal parliament because?
Well, I came to the parliament through a casual vacancy. So my former colleague Penny Wright, who was the senator for South Australia, had to step aside because of some family reasons. And so I was elected by the member of the party to fill the casual vacancy. And then I'll be up facing the people of South Australia in next year's federal election.
So a little bit like the former Premier of New South Wales getting into the Senate, just sort of seconded to fill in a bit of a space. That's how you got in, yeah?
Yeah, that's right. Yes, but so, I hope I'm going to be in there a bit longer than he was.
You've had a bit of a history with the Greens. You've worked for Sarah Hanson-Young.
Yes.
Why? You're a lawyer by trade, but why Parliament? Why politics?
Well, I've been politically active for a number of years. Used to do a lot of activist work when I was at university, and I worked in the community sector as well. And I think that politics is actually the area through which you can really make a difference. The work that you can do really impacts on people's lives and can make lasting change. And that's what I'm passionate about, and that's why I wanted to be in politics. And, of course, the Greens are the party that advocates for that kind of positive change.
Robert Di Natale is your new leader in the Greens. He's been doing some tremendous work. And basically, I feel he's part of, I guess, a new way forward for the Greens. Mm. We're seeing a new way forward for the Liberals.
Mm. Thank gosh for that, yes.
Perhaps. But sadly, Labor's dragging their feet on that front. It is a new space, I think, in federal parliament. And I think, from the public's point of view, there's a very different feeling around our politicians all of a sudden.
Mm. Oh, look,
it's much needed.
Yeah. Look, I agree in terms of the change of leadership from Tony Abbott to Malcolm Turnbull has certainly
been tangible. Welcome.
Yeah, and it's changed the nature of the debate in this country. I think we were at a very difficult point in our politics. And, you know, prior to coming into this role, I was working in the university sector and talking to young people about politics, and people were really switched off. And the reason they were so turned off was primarily because of the relentless negativity we're seeing from Tony Abbott, in my view. That said, there is a challenge for Malcolm Turnbull. You know, we need to make sure that the change isn't just swapping the Speedos for a suit. You know, we want to see a fundamental change in the policy direction. And so I agree the atmospherics have changed, and that's welcome. But he needs to put some flesh on the bones in terms of the policy.
And he's got to walk a very fine line. Whilst he might have his own agenda, he has to bring all of the Abbott supporters along with him. Otherwise, we'll end up where we've been so many times in the last 5 years.
Yes, that's right. There's kind of a sense at the moment that Tony Abbott might be out of the lodge, but he's kind of in the granny flat behind the scenes, you know, directing some of the decisions, you know, issues like marriage equality in this bizarre plebiscite and a whole range of issues like that where Tony Abbott is still holding a bit of sway. So Malcolm Turnbull does need to break from that.
Your good friend Sarah Hanson-Young must have recoiled at Tony Abbott's presentation in London last night.
Oh yes, I think we all did. Not just in the Greens, but across the Australian community. You know, it a bit of a reminder of why Tony Abbott's no longer in that role.
I think so. Yes. We are with Senator Robert Sims. He is Senator for the Australian Greens in our federal parliament. Robert, what do you want to do with your time in Parliament? You will need to get a few runs on the board and be seen to be doing something in the short space that there is to the next federal election if you are to be re-elected. What's on your agenda?
Well, I've been given a carriage for higher education, LGBTI and water in the Murray-Darling Basin for the Greens. So I've got a broad range of portfolios and they're issues that I'm passionate about. Something I am really keen to look at is the issue of homophobia within our community. I spoke in my first speech a few weeks ago about some of the challenges I had coming out and growing up in Adelaide. It wasn't always the easiest experience dealing with some of those issues. And I do really want to look at how we can make life a little bit easier for young people coming down the line. So that's something I'm really passionate about. And I do want to use my position in the Senate to highlight those kind of issues.
At 31, you're the second youngest person in a position of power in our federal parliament. You're the first out gay senator?
For South Australia.
For South Australia?
Yeah, that's right.
And I guess that gives you a bit of an insight as to what our needs and wants are as a community. But there's a lot of old dinosaurs in that place.
Yes, a bit like Jurassic Park sometimes.
sometimes. And they always pop up when it comes to an LGBTI issue.
You're right, they do. Mm. Yeah, and we saw that last week, didn't we, with the debate around marriage equality again, and people like Eric Abetz popping up and, reigniting some of the Abbott-era policies. So, yes, it is a challenge dealing with some of those issues. But from my perspective, how lucky am I? I mean, what a great privilege to have the opportunity to be in the Parliament and to talk about the things that I care passionately about.
You've only been crowned for less than a couple of weeks, ratified, whatever the term is. You've got things around blood donation and the Red Cross and that you want to attack. Tell us about that.
Well, this week I sent a letter to the Human Rights Commissioner, Tim Wilson, about this issue of gay men and other men who have sex with men being prevented from donating blood. In Australia at the moment, we have a policy that says that if you've had sex with another man within a 12-month period, you're not able to give blood. The tribunal looked at this matter in Tasmania a few years ago and found that there was a discrimination angle and asked that there be a committee to investigate the implications. And the committee found that there should be a reduction in the deferral period from 12 months to 6 months. So I've written to the commissioner and asked him to consider this matter again. The TGA at the time rejected the request, but I think that there are so many changes happening in technology in that space that really we should be looking at this. And most Australians would be pretty surprised, I think, to discover that gay men can't donate blood in this country.
Current community affairs.
Connecting.
Uplifting.
Representing.
Informing.
Celebrating.
Empowering.
Sharing your passions.
You are on the line with Dean Beck.
We are on the line with Dean Beck, and my guest here in the studio is Senator Robert Sims with the Australian Greens. Robert, you were talking about blood donation before and wanting to get that up and running. My big issue at the moment with the TGA is PrEP.
Yes.
We took 10 years to get rapid testing approved in this country. We're going to be at least 2017, maybe more, before we get PrEP approved. It's not good enough. And we're supposed to have the world's best health system. What can we do?
Yeah, look, it is a real issue. And what I've been doing since taking on the portfolio is having a chat with different organisations about the issue of PrEP. I've met with some of the AIDS councils and I'm going to be meeting with a range of them in coming days and weeks. I do think this is an area we need to look at. We need to look at what we can do to reduce the risks of HIV infection, and I know from examples overseas that this is something that is having a really positive impact.
Yeah.
So there's some really interesting statistics coming out of, say, places like San Francisco. So I agree, we do need to look at it.
Now, of course, marriage equality is centre front with our community, and it is an issue that you're bringing into the Senate again very shortly.
Yeah, that's right. My colleague, Sarah Hanson-Young, has had a bill on the Senate notice paper for some time, and now I've got carriage of that as the new LGBTI spokesperson. And so on the 12th of November, we'll be bringing this back to the Senate for a vote, for a debate, rather. And I'm meeting with crossbenchers and talking to them about the potential to sign up and support the bill. And I'm hoping that this will put some pressure on the government to act on this issue.
Excuse my cynicism, but that, it's just words. I mean, what is going on? You know, it's going to happen eventually.
Yeah.
It's either going to cost us $180 million or we can just do it.
How ridiculous. I know. Asking $100 million to ask a question that we already know the answer to.
Yeah.
You know, we know Australians support it, and yet putting millions of dollars into a big opinion poll. Let's actually put that money into dealing with mental health for LGBTI, you know, people, or range about, you know, some of the issues you've talked about in terms of health and so on. It's just ridiculous. But, you know, in terms of where it's up to, as a senator, obviously I can do what I can to try and put pressure in the parliament, and that's what I'm doing through the Senate process, and we're hoping that that will put some pressure on Malcolm Turnbull to act. But ultimately, of course, also it's for the community to keep on on pressuring the government on this issue. And I joked before about people wanting to see the shift being more from just the speedos to the suit. But fundamentally, I mean, Malcolm Turnbull needs to show that he isn't just Tony Abbott light.
Yeah.
And we've had a lot of rhetoric, and I think you're dead right when you talk about the change in the tone and the national conversation, and that's all great. But there will reach a point when Mr. Turnbull
time
has to actually show that's right, and put an issue like this on the agenda. We know he supports it. Why not just do it?
Yeah, he was one of the most vocal supporters from the outset.
Yeah, and he didn't support a plebiscite before, and now, of course, he's pushing us down that plebiscite path. I just think it's such a waste of money. And also, there's the homophobic angle that worries me. Taxpayer-funded hate campaign.
Yeah, which is only going to come to the fore in a plebiscite.
Well, that's right. And, you know, I talked before about some of my experiences growing up, and, you know, it is isolating for LGBTI young people in this country. And, you know, the last thing that I want to see happen is that being, complicated and compounded by this kind of hate campaign.
Our asylum seekers, we have not a good history of late with that. Any movement, do you think? Are we seeing a softening? We're certainly seeing an expose of some of the horrendous damage that we're causing these people.
Yeah. Oh, look, I think this is a key moral challenge for our country. I mean, surely we are better than this. Mm. You know, having innocent children who've committed no crime languishing in island prisons. I mean, these places are, you know, factories of mental illness, in effect. We're creating and compounding misery of the world's most vulnerable people, and it's shameful. So we do have to see a change in policy. I think we are starting to see Australians looking at this issue with different eyes, and I do welcome that. I mean, I've seen in recent weeks there's been a focus on in some of the media around trying to get children out of detention, and surely this is something the government can do. I mean, in a country like Australia, why are we having children being locked behind razor wire? It's despicable.
It must concern you to see far-right elements within the community coming to the surface, being more vocal. It's happening all over the world, but it's also happening in our own backyard.
Yeah, look, it is. It is very concerning. And I think it's unfortunate that we have had a Prime Minister over the last few years and a leader of the opposition before that in Tony Abbott, who has really fanned the fears of hatred and prejudice in this country. And I think Tony Abbott's style of politics has divided this country. And as a result, we have seen the emergence of some kind of far-right fundamentalism in Australia. And we know that that's always been part of our political culture, unfortunately. Certainly the last few years, Pauline Hanson is an example of that. But, you know, fundamentally, I believe that actually love will win out over hatred and fear. I do believe that. We've just got to appeal to the best in people in our politics.
I look back to, it's before your time, but to Malcolm Fraser's day and Bob Hawke's day, where that was not part of the conversation.
Exactly.
And yes, there were, you know, fears about these new people coming to our shores, but we also kind of embraced them because we knew that they were in need, and we offered to help, and they became part of our culture and society. And we've since gone on to relish that.
Oh, absolutely. And if you look at Australia, I mean, our country is a great example of multiculturalism, and look at how much that's enriched our country. I think the great thing about, if you look at the period of the Hawke and Fraser years, was that there was a consensus, a political consensus in this country that we should treat the world's most vulnerable people with compassion, and that there were benefits that came to our country through immigration. The terrible thing that we've seen over the last decade, of course, is the consensus has actually developed around an immoral immigration policy. Mm. You have the Labor and Liberal parties closer together than ever before on this issue. And, you know, you're actually, they're both in a bidding war for who can offer the most nasty policy. And that's a terrible position for our country to be in. And we have to ask ourselves collectively, surely we're better than this.
We are speaking with Robert Sims. He is the Green Senator for South Australia. What is South Australia's position heading towards the next federal election? What's the lay of the land?
In what sense?
Well, it seems Mr. Xenophon is just going to take every seat there is, doesn't it?
Hopefully not mine.
Look, he's doing pretty well.
Yeah, he is. And look, Senator Xenophon is a very good advocate for my state. It's good to have him in there. But he's not up for re-election this time.
He's not.
No. So he's running. He's running a ticket,
which gives him, I guess, more opportunity to spread the love.
Yes.
In his point of view.
Yes, yes, exactly. But look, you know, from my perspective, I think one of the key issues facing South Australia at the moment, and it's actually a similar issue that I know you face here in Victoria, is around job creation and the decline of the manufacturing industry in our state. We had Holden, which is closing down from next year. We need to look at how we can create new jobs. And certainly what I've been doing since I entered the Senate was looking at how we can harness the skills in our state's manufacturing industry and create new jobs for the future. There are opportunities in things like renewable energy, but also electric cars. I mean, car manufacturing is a multi-billion dollar industry. We've got to be playing a role in that. And of course, Victoria and South Australia should be working together on that issue.
We've had a message come through on 0427 Joy 949. This message is from Rolf, who says, a French friend of mine was recently refused a student visa because he was HIV positive. Mm. Yet he has previously spent a year in Australia on a backpacker's visa without any problems. Mm. Backpackers can access Medicare, students cannot. He can access his meds from France. Yet reasons for his visa refusal was possibly of Australia incurring the expense of the antiretrovirals. Yeah. Where is the logic in this regarding a student visa? Rolf, thank you very much for that message. Mm. I appreciate it. Senator?
Yeah, look, it's an issue that I'm aware of and I'm very concerned about. I know that that policy is in place. It also applies to Australia's dealing with asylum seekers as well. And there's a terrible situation where, for instance, you can have people who are HIV positive trying to escape persecution from countries like Uganda, where they face appalling treatment as a result of their HIV status, but being denied entry to Australia on the basis of that status, the very grounds on which they're being persecuted. I mean, again, it's one of those questions about surely we're better than this in terms of being able to help and support people.
And I know that our agencies, our HIV agencies, have relationships with the drug companies that can circumvent that expense. And so I'm very disappointed to hear that, Rolf. I would suggest you get in contact with your local HIV positive agency, like Living Positive Victoria, here, and have that conversation with them, because they may be able to assist in
some
way.
And I'm sorry to hear about that experience. Unfortunately, it is something that I understand is in operation.
Now, Senator Robert Sims, you've got less than 12 months, really, whenever the federal election's going to be called. It will be less than 12 months. Mm. You've hit the ground running in the 2 weeks that you've been up there at Federal Parliament.
Thank you.
What's it like?
I have to say it was quite surreal, actually, being sworn into the National Parliament. I'm a bit of a nerd. I know that will shock you, but I am a nerd. And I'm someone who watched politics for many years and, you know, stuff like that. But actually being in there, sitting on the the pink leather benches. Very unusual experience, but I'm really enjoying it, and it is an enormous privilege.
Adelaide has its Feast Festival very shortly.
It does, yeah.
You'll be there, Centre Front?
I'll be there. Okay. I'll be there. I'm looking forward to it. I always do the Pride March, and I really enjoy the Feast Festival. Hopefully we'll get some people from Melbourne to come over.
Hopefully. You will come and see us again, won't you?
Oh, I'd love to. Absolutely.
Senator Robert Sims joining us on the line. Thank you very much today.
Thank you for having me.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.